This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Hello and welcome to Take Care On Air. I'm Kath Duncan.
And I'm Crusader Hillis.
And you're with us again for a whole hour as we explore sexual health and general fun. And actually, at the moment, we're still gripped by Midsummer Madness, aren't we, Crusader?
We are. And we're going to be talking to Take Care On Air sexual health coordinator, Shane McMasters.
Of course, we're going to be talking erotica with popular MX editor and journalist Andrew Murdoch, who was the winner of the sex write-off competition last year and tonight is featuring as part of Dirty Deeds sex writing. Guess who's emceeing, Crusader?
Kath Duncan.
Oh, who? Yes.
And a dirty girl, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to wear something disgraceful.
Did you know that the sex write-off competition is the highest erotica prize in Australia and potentially one of the highest in the world?
I was at the competition last year. I thought it was totally a dampener. Also, we're going to be seeing a new queer TV ad. It's going to be born on Australian TV very soon. We're going to be talking about that. And first, I'll let you take the honours, Crusader.
Okay.
The first story.
Well, Shane McMasters is currently employed to run the Take Care Out There project and to sort of do quite a bit of the administrative things, look after volunteers. But a Sunday or two ago, he was sort of had a baptism by fire at the Midsummer Carnival.
Uh-huh.
20 volunteers, a couple of drug and alcohol workers. Everything that could possibly be challenging was challenging that day, and it was hot.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah, we're selling the place to be over a Sunday ago. Yeah, it's about 120,000 people, I believe.
That many?
There at Midsummer Carnival.
Yeah, you are kidding me. Wow.
So we were just constantly giving out safe sex packs and bottles of water and sunscreen to passers-by for the whole day, and it was just constant. Yeah,
and I understand you were running the survey as well, the sort of sexual health survey. Did you get much response to that?
Yeah, that's right. So we got a phenomenal response.
Really?
I'd say
we had
least,
to reprint.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. I just sort of thought, no one's going to stop to do that. You know,
yeah.
This was very busy. And
it's a fun survey, though. It's a sort of survey that asks people about a whole range of things about their sexual identification, how they identify. It's very open about that, their gender, their understanding about PEP, a whole lot of things.
I think you did at the Fetish Fair.
2 years ago.
Yeah. And it was fun, actually. It's, of course, non-judgmental. So, Shane, what was it like? Because I actually found it tricky. I was on my little gold three-wheeler mobility scooter. I found it a bit tricky to get into you guys. Was that how it was all day? Or was it, at least you're on the edge, weren't you?
Yeah, so it was, like I said, it was a really busy day. It was a great atmosphere. Everyone was just having a really good time that day. It was a really infectious vibe of the day. So, yeah, it was just great chatting to people about sexual health, gaining their awareness of things like PEP and use of condoms and lube.
And we got rid of thousands of condoms and lube.
Yeah, they were very popular.
In all different sizes, too.
I didn't know there were different sizes.
And flavors.
Yeah. Wow, well, I am so out of the loop.
And I have to say, the large ones were more popular than expected.
Do you think, though, people want to rip out a large one just to have a large one?
Well, I think also there might be a few girls out there that like the larger ones as well for some of their accoutrements.
Yeah,
there was also a guy who specifically asked me for a large one too, so I had to hunt
maybe
for quite a few to find one. But
do you think it was a pickup line? No, of course
could
not.
Could have been, but wasn't my type.
Can we talk a bit about the Short Film Festival, because it's over?
Yeah,
Tell us the winner.
Yeah, so the winner was a short film called Dick. So it was a very, very humorous look at a couple.
I wonder what.
And his name was Christopher Stoller. But I think one of the really interesting things about Dick, and it's D-I-K, there's no C in there. Dick is nominated for an Academy Award this year for Best Short. It won the Best Short Film at Cannes, which is absolutely amazing. Best Comedy at the Flickr Festival and Best Short at Manhattan Film Festival.
Is that not a bit unkind? I mean, of course it's going to run off with the
I know,
on the
but he
for
did.
This, wasn't
he entered it.
It was so about, good. It's just.
It was about sexual health. It was about.
Can you
sex.
Tell us a bit about it?
When, we're going to get Shane to do that. I just want to finish by saying he also won $2,500 from the Take Care Out There project for this work.
Nice.
And Open Channel have offered $1,000 worth of film production on any upcoming show he's doing. But Shane, yes, tell us about the film itself.
Yeah, so like I said, it was just a very humorous and very insightful film. I think it was about 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
So it's just about this couple and their son who comes home one day with quite a sexually explicit message. message and on drawing that he'd written. He was about 6 years old. But yeah, the message was quite sexually explicit, and so it took the father quite aback to
what
read it.
What was the message?
I like ribbing Tim's dick. If we can say that on air. I'm not sure if we can say that on air. But
I think you can, because it's actually factual and it's about a practice. Yeah?
Goodness.
Yeah. But it's all about exploring the reasons why the kid wrote that particular message, and then the discussion that the couple has ensuing that revelation, and the things that get revealed in their discussion afterwards.
So it's a little bit like sexual health and sexuality and discussion of sex starts really early. The other day we had a youth fiction panel as part of Word Is Out at Hares and Hyenas, and Maria Pilotta Chiaroli was asked one day in a class something about clitoris or something like that by a boy who was just trying to make fun. And then she had the opportunity to a group of young teenagers to spend a good 20 minutes talking about the importance of knowing where the clitoris is and what it does. And similarly, she'd already had the same sort of discussion with her quite young daughter at that stage. And she was saying that the more information kids are getting and the more honest parents are up front, the more likely the sexual health practices in the future are going to be good. They're also less likely to have sex at a younger age.
Yeah, the more they know. Yeah, interesting.
But how did the audience receive not just that film, but the films in general on the night?
Well, on the whole, it's a very grassroots sort of vibe. We had a few technical difficulties on the night, but added to the authenticity of the night. Yeah. You know, local filmmakers showing movies about sexual health. And so all the films were received quite well by the audience. There was a lot of laughter and a few tears, I think, being shed as well. It was quite some deep and moving films as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to be able to get to see any of these films? Is it hard to see the winner? Or
yeah, so we're currently in discussions with Red Bennies, who hosted the night, to upload those short films onto YouTube.
So you think they will let us see, though, the Academy Award-nominated short on YouTube, or is that going to be one of those things where they're just going to keep it under wraps?
I actually found a copy of that in its entirety on YouTube already, so if you like, you can actually just type into YouTube,
but
Dick. And
I think there's actually a very good marketing potential here, because Take Care Out There has a page on Facebook which people need to like. But if you put the link to the YouTube on our Take Care Out There page,
that's
you might
a good
get
idea.
A few people to
Yeah, you have to
in.
Get in. You
yep,
have to like
right.
it.
Yeah.
Get in to get
like
in.
I said, just waiting on Red Bennies to get back to us about that. So
let's just make it tough.
Yeah. So Shane, you're quite a young one too, no offence or anything, to organise 20 vols and all this. You handled it well at Carnival. You're ready to keep going. And
yeah, it was quite undertaking, so I really
Although
just
he
want
was
to thank
traumatised by the Monday, I have to say.
Oh, really?
As anyone would be after a 15-hour day.
But yeah, I couldn't have done it without Louise Boucher, who assisted me in organising volunteers for the day and just everything that went beforehand, organising the drug and alcohol workers as well and the condom suppliers. And yeah, so I just want to thank Louise in particular for that and all the volunteers who were there on the day and before the day packing Safe Sex Packs. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate all your help.
And I understand that next year we're going to try and get ourselves... This is also part of the QIP thing, that's sort of the Queer Cripple project. We're going to try and get ourselves a good marquee, aren't we, Crusader?
Yes,
we're going to try and get a good, shady, loungy
What
thingy.
I think is going on is this year we managed to get a single marquee for deaf and disabled people. And when I mentioned that to Midsummer, they were quite excited about it. They put in their e-zine and all the rest of it. And basically, we would like to go into some discussions with Midsummer sort of quite soon to talk about, in the same way that they have it for kids, let's have a place which is shady and large, a little bit of infrastructure for, as you say before, the frail, the elderly,
and
the disabled
people,
deaf, whatever.
And their friends and family.
Friends and family, loved ones, significant others.
Excellent. There's something to work towards, and we certainly will be.
We've got one more thing. I think let's explain exactly what Take Care Out There is, because I think people are still a bit not quite unsure. If I wanted to sum it up first, and we'll sort of go to Shane. Take Care Out There works with every part of the GLBTI community. A lot of the gay promotional health promotion places generally just work with gay men and men who have sex with men. So a lot of the stuff that Take Care Out There has done has included trans people, including sponsoring Dude, which is a new magazine for trans people, which has got a very strong focus on sexual health. And there's nowhere in the world, there's one internet site in the world with sexual health information for trans men, and that's in Canada. So it's one of the things that we're really trying to change. And a lot of trans men are having sex with biological men, or cis men as they're known. But it also deals with with youth, arts and culture, sexually adventurous, non-queer identifying people who have sex with people of the same sex, sporting groups, and runs this radio show and has produced a television commercial for mainstream TV. That's a lot. How does it feel, Shane, coming in with a remit like that and starting to think, where do I start?
Well, I guess because we're trying to include the whole of the queer community, so people who are not necessarily identifying as being gay or lesbian, but also transgender or bisexual. Yeah, it's quite a broad range of people to be involved with, so there's a lot of people to contact and...
There's a lot to do.
But yeah, I think it's a really important thing to draw attention to, though, to raise awareness of good sexual health practices and safer sex, and not only looking out for ourselves, but also for other people in our community, and sort of just having that conversation in our community about safer sex. I think that's a very important thing.
Shane McMaster, Sexual Health Coordinator for the Take Care Out There Project, thanks very much for joining us today.
No worries, thank you.
Of course, you're with Take Care On Air here on Joy with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis. Coming up, I really hope we're going to have a bit more filth. Stay with us.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And we have a very special guest in the studio, Andy Murdoch. Andy Murdoch is an editor and journalist with the very popular late afternoon Street Press, MX. He's also a former editor, I think, of MSO, Melbourne Star Observer.
Oh, you do get around.
I was one of the first editors of Melbourne Star Observer. He's an accomplished writer of short fiction, and particularly short, sexy fiction. He was a writer in the 2010 competition,
Sex Write-Off.
And I know he received special mention by the judges in that year, then went on to take off the $1,000 prize in 2011. The two judges for that were...
Do you want me to take over?
Yeah, you take over.
Jeff Knight, and I can't remember the other one.
Lawrence Schimmel.
Exactly. And Jeff Knight's reading tonight.
Yes.
That's right.
Dirty Deeds.
But nevertheless, let's put the focus back on Andy, because Andy's going to be reading from your award-winning story or another story?
No, one. Slightly different version of it, but the winning
story. It's not going to win again. No, it's not a competition this year. This year, we're just letting it all hang out. That's what we're doing. Jules Wilkinson will be on.
Ursula Dawkins.
Yes. And, special guest.
Amy Nichols.
We've got to say, can we say our special guest?
Yeah.
Our special guest tonight is just the fabulous Paige Phoenix.
She'll be reading a very hot SM
musician,
story.
Songwriter, trans activist. What was that show?
X Factor
participant. Total spunk. Was on at Carnival last 2 weeks ago and will be at Hares and Hyenas tonight. Not that I'm self-promoting, of course. But anyway, back to Andy. Congratulations
for your
award last week. Did it mean anything? Like, could you go boasting that you'd run the sex write-off, or was it...
To some people.
You did.
But
did you get lucky on the basis of... It doesn't matter. Moving right along. What makes a good erotic story?
If it turns you on and it doesn't make you laugh, or maybe it can make you laugh, but if it turns you on, I suppose that's a start anyway.
Do you kind of work on the idea that it should turn me on as well as, say, turn you on, even though we're probably, I hope, quite different in our orientation and stuff? I mean, should it turn everyone on, or
look,
don't you care?
We might see tonight, because I don't read or listen to a great deal of lesbian erotic fiction, so there's a few women reading tonight,
yeah,
so you might want to ask me that question after tonight's...
Can I say, having been a bookseller for 20 years at Hares and Hyenas, but also several years before that at Hartwig's Books, women in the old days used to buy gay men's pornography and erotica because there wasn't a lot at that stage that was written for women. There was Pat Califia, as he was known then, and a few others who were writing it, but they used to buy gay male porn video. There was... quite seriously.
How cool
I mean,
was
it was
that?
Quite popular. And you have to also remember that slash fiction, which reimagines straight characters from film and television in queer sexual union, it was for a long time mainly written by heterosexual women. It's now a lot of lesbian women are starting to get involved, and now there's starting to be a few men involved reimagining women characters
in lesbian
relationships.
You know, I don't want Andy here to think that I read lesbian erotica. It's sort of not my favourite thing, but I mean, you know, queer and la-la erotica with boys and things and people and da-da-da-da, all through it is sort of my thing. So tell us a bit about your story. What happens?
Well, the theme of the sex write-off last year was cheating and revenge.
Oh, it's awesome.
It was two-timing. It was also about plurality. I think you just wanted to get into cheating and revenge.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'd actually previously written the story that I entered and just grubbied it up a bit for the sex write-off competition. The original version didn't actually have a great deal of sex. It probably hasn't actually got that much sex in it.
So you've just kept adding more sex, sort of like salt in the
soup.
Pretty
much.
Tell us, and just a bit more detail in the story, how many people?
Well, there's only two people in the story itself. One of those admits to his partner that he had an affair with someone someone 5 or 6 years previously. They're about to go to this person's place for dinner. And then a little bit further down into the story, you realize that the bloke who has...
Don't tell too much.
Okay, all right, I won't.
That was coitus interruptus.
Yes. No, but yes, it was. And sometimes coitus interruptus is not making a mistake.
I was just getting into that.
Well, what I was going to say is... give away anything further and you're starting to destroy the pleasure of what people are going to be hearing tonight. You're also actually telling people to come along now because they've been a little bit horned up now and it's good.
Okay. I don't know if I quite got to that stage, but it, okay. So what you do, you kind of wear this sort of respectable hat, I suppose, doing the editing journalist thing. And then do you write the erotica in your spare time or only at certain times of the year or how do you do that?
I don't necessarily write a lot of erotica. Some of the stuff that I've written in the past has had, I like to think that I try to write fiction and some of that fiction has some pretty grubby stuff in it.
Okay.
Which
fair
that's
enough.
Probably the easiest way to put it. Most of the stuff that I've actually had published over the past 3 or 4 years has not been particularly sexy.
I have the opposite problem. I keep putting sex in everything I write and it ends up being unpublishable. I get to read it at such events like tonight because it's sort of the only avenue that I've got, really.
And look, the Sex Write Off competition over the last 3 years was sponsored by the Victorian AIDS Council, and they were trying to come up with a few ways of starting to sort of get a bit of a picture of what men were doing. They were very clear it didn't have to be about safe sex. They were really clear that it didn't have to have a sexual health focus on it. But they were very interested just to get an idea about what was out there. And in the first year, Colin Petrucci, who was the person who helped get it sponsored, was one of the judges. Over the 3 years, we've had about 150 stories submitted, and they showed an incredible range and breadth and imagination of writers when it came to sex. I just want to ask you the question now, which is, do you think writers have any responsibility in either promoting good sexual health, consent, whatever it might be? Where's your picture about where the writer's responsibility and imagination should sit?
I probably come from the point of view that a writer's primary responsibility is to write good fiction, and it doesn't necessarily have to promote the values that that writer may subscribe to in the real world. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And look, it mirrors, again, from this youth fiction session we had the other day, this 70-year-old writer who has just written a book with a New Zealand trans man called F2M about an 18-year-old boy who's sort of going through the process of becoming a trans man and all the rest of it. She said pretty much the same thing. If you write propaganda, it sounds like propaganda. If you write from a place of truth, you can write about dark things.
Both of the stories that I've entered in the past couple of years have both had, funnily enough, unsafe practices in them. And I know I can never figure out how to pronounce his surname. David Leavitt or Leavitt.
Leavitt.
Leavitt. He's been pulled up in the past, I think, for supposedly using his fiction or being accused of using his fiction to promote unsafe practices. But I'm not sure that... I think that's an accusation that you can level at anybody, really.
And it's rubbish in any case. I mean, he's actually quite a conservative fellow who's been with the same partner forever.
Yeah, but that's separate again, isn't it?
No, exactly.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one because I think in that sort of educational role, and isn't there a way of making safe sex really like sexy and hot and throwing it into erotica?
I haven't. Of course you can, but I mean, why should it be the responsibility of the writer to be doing this?
But should it not? Should it not be? Should they have no responsibility whatsoever? I mean, somewhere it's got to be.
I agree, they have
no
responsibility. And in fact, like Dennis Cooper would never be the writer that he is if he didn't write about people who take boys home, cut them up and eat them. I mean, that's what he does. But he is actually considered one of the world's great writers by a lot of people.
Well, all I can say is I'd like to see more writers make safer sex sexy. I'm just putting that on the table.
So would I.
Yeah. We're talking to Andy Murdoch, who's our editor, journalist with MX, and we're going to be seeing him. Well, I will be seeing him tonight, and hopefully some of you others will be seeing me with some scanty thing on and reading complete filth with a whole lot of other funsters at Hares and Hyenas tonight.
And tickets are through midsummer.org.au.
Coming up
or
next,
through the shop.
That great TV ad we're all looking forward to. It's going to go mainstream. It's all clear. Stay with us.
Take care out there.
Take care out there.
Individual health and well-being through stronger community endeavours.
Now, coming up, this is something I'm very excited about. We're going to be seeing a new ad that's anti-transphobia, anti-biphobia, that's always good, and indeed anti-homophobic. Did I say all that right?
Yeah, you did, except anti-homophobia. And it's going to be a television commercial on mainstream, free-to-air TV and Foxtel.
And on the line with us right now is the executive producer of this, it's called Brand Strategy TV, Walter.
Are you on the line, Walt?
Yes, can you hear me?
Excellent.
We can. I was actually just telling people that the RAP project, which is what you're working on, is something that was funded by the Department of Justice and the Department of Health. But also you did another TVC fairly recently, which played at every session of the Queer Film Festival, every session of the Bendigo Film Festival, and was seen on many free-to-air stations as well as on Foxtel. And that was a Take Care Out There TVC.
Yeah, that's right. That was one that carried a bit of a harmonious community and a safe sex message as well. And we kind of just wanted to say that. We tricked the viewer into these everyday, cliche Aussie blokes and women doing their daily things, loading a ute or playing with their child or looking into a mirror. And at the end, they all came together at the end of the commercial and actually were gay, lesbian, transgender.
And you know, straight.
Great. Yeah, yeah. And that went on across nationally on free-to-air. We've had amazing feedback for that one. So this one, the new one, is bigger. And there are two commercials actually in the series and very, very groundbreaking concepts in the sense that nothing has ever been done to the mainstream in Australia like this before. So we're not being jumping up and down, waving rainbow flags, saying, hey, look, we're all different, we're all gay. We're actually just pulling it right back and saying everybody is equal and everybody is the same. And calling someone a homo or a fag once is absolutely inappropriate in the workplace. Doing it again, there are severe consequences. It is as bad as, if not worse, as sexism or racism in the workplace. You wouldn't tolerate that. The first time something's being done like this.
I understand. My notes say that this commercial has been in development for over 2 years. How does it take that amount of time?
Well, actually, the campaign has been, or the project has been going on like that. It took a long time to sort of get the approval from the Department of Justice about how it was going to happen. We've been working with Walt probably for about 10 months now in terms of developing the concepts around what the campaign might look like. And it's such a complex issue because it's transphobia, homophobia and biphobia. That's a lot to get into a 30-second ad, isn't it, Walt?
Yeah, I mean, when Crusader said, and when we talked about this with the brief and then the team behind all of this, I mean, I nearly went into a heart attack because there are a million messages with such complexities, but we had to be so subtle about all of this so that it wouldn't instantly offend dumb middle Australia who would be watching this into thinking, oh, God, this is a gay ad. We actually wanted to not even show anything like that until they see the concept at the end. So it's been quite a clever strategy behind it. And we've been working hard in the background to get such big institutions like the Collingwood Football Club have jumped right on board with this and have gone, you know, we will support it. It's the first time really in AFL they will be seen outside of sports promoting a anti-homophobia message. So big institutions have come on board and we really think it's going to have an impact.
And another one of the complexities is it's not just the Also Foundation that's working on this. We're working in partnership with Transgender Victoria, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and the Anti-Violence Project Victoria. So there's a number of different voices, points of view and priorities. So that's a bit of a complex thing for you to have had to deal with, I guess, too, as a TV producer.
Quite a few bottles of wine and notepad scribbling about different...
They were obviously done at home because I didn't get to go to any of those meetings, unfortunately.
I just portrayed a calm, together persona to you, Crusader, but in actual fact, it was quite a challenge to come up with something which ticked everybody's box and was respectful to everybody, which was equal, which was inclusive, and ultimately something that's going to work for the mainstream, because what we don't want to do is preach to the converted already. Like our gay community, most of our gay community knows that it's inappropriate to, you know, and they know what it's like to be the victim of this kind of harassment. But in general Australia, people who think, saying, oh, g'day princess, in the morning on the way to work, they think that that's completely normal. But, you know, it all adds up. Adds up to someone being miserable. It adds up to somebody being ostracised. And it adds up to making someone's life miserable for going to work. And no Australian, gay, straight or white, should have to put up with that. That's what these ads are about.
What is the significance of getting this sort of material on commercial TV?
Because it's the first time that we're having the chance to have an input into popular culture in Australia. So yes, there have been thousands of campaigns put in MCV and V News and from the back of a bus maybe, or on Joy and Vent TV. That's all very well, but that is preaching to the people who are already converted. We need to be pushing this out to Australia, to our general community, and saying it's time now that you just pull back on the homophobic jokes and a little dig and everything, because whilst you may think that's okay, in actual fact, it's upsetting a couple of people in our community, and quite often this very base source of very mild harassment, it has proven to have a pyramid effect, and it will lead ultimately to violence and homophobic attacks. So if we can nip it in the bud, the very base, we believe long term it should have a bit of an impact and a following effect through to violence and homophobic attacks.
Look, to be completely truthful, there's been a huge backlash against the Orso Foundation over the last couple of years. Some of that criticism has been warranted for a number of different reasons, but a lot of it hasn't been. And I think it's pretty amazing that an organisation that's been suffering fairly much over the last year or two is actually one of the very first. I think ACON has done something similar with a video, but it didn't really get on much. But it's pretty amazing that the Orso Foundation, instead of a lot of the other health promotion organisations, is actually breaking ground by saying, we've talked to the queer community much, but we haven't talked to the mainstream community. So if people want to know what the Orso Foundation's been doing, these are two of the things they've been doing that have been pretty important.
Yeah, Crusader, love or hate the Orso Foundation, it's mixed views for everybody. You can't deny that these projects have been pioneering in Australia. I mean, that Take Care Out There ad, which we talked about earlier, has been nominated for 4 industry awards.
Yeah, really?
On its messaging, yeah. And these have similar grounds as well, because it's doing what we need to do, and that's stop jumping up and down and planting seed in our own gardens. It's actually do what we need to do and get out there and preach to the people and tell the men and women of Australia who may have not even met a gay person, for example, just tell them, you know, their stereotypes are wrong. Ostracising someone is wrong. And when these ads go to air on 13 channels across Foxtel, 7, 9 and 10 in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide, that has clout. And we've partnered with TV networks to get free airplay on all of these channels. It's a collaboration of everything. And you know what's been astonishing? Is that everybody's gone, yeah, right on, definitely we're on board. This ad's great, there's great ideas. We'd definitely support you in this. And it's a really exciting time in the community in terms of we're now just pushing the boundaries out a little bit, transcending the inner circles, and we're going out to Australia. But we do need some extras, Crusader. We need some actors on
board. That's what I was going to say. Let's get down to some tin tacks here. We're actually looking for some talent out there. You don't necessarily have to have been an actor. You do probably need to have a sort of certain level of confidence. I'm looking at Kath Duncan. She's got confidence.
What about gayness, straightness, anything?
So who are we looking for? What are the characters?
Yeah, well, look, we're almost cast. We've got a lot of paid actors and things which we've put into the major roles, but there are a lot of featured extra roles, which some will have speaking parts. We've been overrun. We've done a lot of social media into looking for female and male actors, and we've been overrun with female actors, so we're pretty much cast for females. We're now looking for blokes who want to come on board and be in these commercials.
And what are the characters for the blokes?
Yeah, well, we've got a few different characters going. We've got someone to play a soccer player, so we're looking for someone who looks pretty fit and agile.
Have you tried a soccer club? And we've actually got a soccer player sitting with us right in the studio.
Yeah. Does he play soccer?
Yeah.
All right, you look like you played soccer growing up.
He is very good looking. Yeah. Does that count? Anyway.
Yeah, you know what? We don't want everyone to be good looking.
You're out.
It's great for me to have a little perv on the day. I'm fine if you don't want to turn up, but... We need just a mixture, pretty much under 40, because we've got a mature cast as well. We need about 5 or 6 people for roles to play genetic mix of males. And then we have a cast.
One of them is actually a defence officer, isn't it? Defence Force officer.
Yeah, someone to play Defence Force Sergeant. And
is that a gay Defence Force Sergeant or a straight one? I mean, I don't think that makes any difference, but I just want to know.
It's a play a straight role, and we have one of the young cadets or trainee blokes go up to him and say, listen, mate, I need to talk to you about something, and the officer goes, no problems, come to my office sort of thing. So we've got those roles. So really people can just email a headshot and the experience that they've got. And there's a cafe scene we're shooting on the 7th of February at Collingwood Football Headquarters at the Westpac Centre. And we need about 10 to 15 people to sit in the cafe. Everybody will appear on the commercial and then we waste the time, get a free coffee out of it, but it's a bit of a donation. It's come along for about an hour.
Are you still looking for a trans woman actor or person?
We still need a trans woman to come and play quite a key role in the transgender scene. So very complex. We're not all just looking for white people either. We're definitely want, need, would love a mix of ethnicity
all
right. in there as well.
Well, look, what we're going to do is I've just volunteered that Shane's going to be in touch with you, and we're going to be doing a bit of a multi sort of social media campaign. We're going to tweet and Facebook, and we're going to start actually work out exactly who you're looking for, including this crowd scene, and let's get it stitched up in the next week.
How do people find out more about the commercial via Walter or via Take Care Out There?
It'll be via Take Care Out There.
Okay.
We'll pass or through or just going takecare@also.org.au, because even though it's not a Take Care project, that's the best place to get it.
And it'll have to be over 18 to appear in the commercial.
That's okay.
Okay, fantastic. We've been speaking to Walter Collins, who's the executive producer of Brand Strategy TV. Keep an eye out for those commercials. It sounds like they're just going to totally go off. Coming up, it's our favourite guy in the bush, Damien Stevens. He'll be joining us shortly.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We've lost Damien. Yes. He's out there in the bush, too deeply in the bush. I know the feeling. And so instead, we're going to do a bit of a wrap-up of today's Midsummer events. Crusader, let's kick it off.
All right. Midsummer Men on Men competition. The winner is Steve Edwards. It's on at the Laird Hotel. I'm serious. This year's competition is a very, very strong one.
And that's visual arts?
That is visual arts.
Radio.
Yes.
Okay. And
Britney Spears, The Cabaret.
I saw that. I like the look of that.
I've actually seen the show. It's not just funny. It's like seeing a Britney Spears show where the person can really sing.
Really?
And really bring out the life of Britney. It's incredibly funny.
And Christy Whelan, is Christy a drag queen type person
Christy
person?
Christy Whelan is, I've no idea what her sexuality is, but she's one of the most talented people. I wish I could just suddenly say who the directors and co-writers and things are, and Roland is sitting there sort of screaming at
me. Yes, he'll know.
Bryant and Dean, I think it is. Or Dean Bryant and somebody else.
And that's at Chapel Off Chapel.
Chapel Off Chapel.
And today it goes on for into next week. Looks a lot of fun.
I think there's an event on tonight. You might be in, Kath.
Yes, but I think we've already said enough about that, Chris.
Yep. Dirty Deeds 4.
Yeah, hell, don't miss it.
Andy and Johnny present Cocktails and Cocktails. And as you could expect, they're written in slightly different fashion.
Now, that's singing dancing jokes about lube. I like that. Bright copper kettles and crisp apple strudels. Let's not keep going. I've got the feeling that's going to go into some weird territory.
People need to go to the Midsummer Guide to find out exactly where and when these things are on. We don't have time.
Oh, okay.
I think Fair Go Sport Forum we should mention.
Okay. And what does that do for you, Crusader? Oh, here we go. Sexual and gender diversity in sport. Okay, yeah. We're here, we're queer, we want to play, blah, 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 sport, blah, blah. Well, it's about time the picture's really cute. It's all these football-y people with rainbow socks. I like that.
And I just got a very aggressive email from Roland Thompson that says it's Matthew Frank and Dean Bright. And
thank you, Roland.
Then he wrote a huge,
Dean Bright's
father was the captain at Roland's school at Newmarket High School. And he had a huge crush on him.
Oh, look, there's just so much more, including the Year of Magical Wanking. That would be... If I wasn't emceeing tonight, I would definitely be interested in checking that out.
And there's three shows there. There's a big season at Gasworks. There's the Love in a Cubicle, which you had on last week. There's three shows at Theatreworks. There's a lot going on. Check it out.
Do check it out. Don't miss it. It comes but once a year, Midsummer, and we love it. You've been with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis on Take Care On Air. Thanks to our glorious guests and to our even more beautiful naked Penelope today, Gazman. He's with us and we love him. We'll see you again next week. Midsummer out, guys.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.